But hey, we are kicking off a new semester and really a new year, right? It's 2026. And so I don't know about you, I get really sentimental and nostalgic at the end of the year. I start listening, I'm listening to Christmas music, listening to Auld Lang Syne. I'm thinking about over the year that I've just experienced. And I'm a bit of a bookworm, kind of a nerd, to be honest. And so the thing I get excited about at the end of the year are all of the reviews of all of the books that have come out over the last year. And so my attention was recently caught by a book by Paul Kingsnorth, which came out in September and was an instant New York Times bestseller. This is not an endorsement. I have some issues with it. But here's the thing. His book, Against the Machine, this has been my bedtime reading over the last week. His book is critiquing kind of the current state of our culture globally. And he describes the culture of the world at this moment. He critiques it as a sort of insatiable, global, techno-industrial quest for progress. But he describes one of the great tragedies of the quest for global progress. And I want to explain it to you. Here's what he says. He describes our current cultural crisis as one of rootlessness. Rootlessness. Here's what he says. He says, though no human culture has been anything but flawed, all lasting human cultures in history have been rooted. That is to say, they have been tied down by and to things more solid, timeless and lasting than the day-to-day processes of their functioning or the personal desires of the individuals who inhabit them. He says that we have lost a sort of rootedness. And he goes on to describe some of the many ways that we've become unrooted, lacking roots, wanting something more solid, though. As I read that, I thought, oh my goodness, that sounds really nice. A kind of rootedness in something more solid. So my invitation to you tonight is to become more rooted, to sink your roots into something more solid, stable, nourishing, and timeless than our culture that just sort of seems to pass by moment, something that will hold you steady. And what I'm talking about tonight is actually this book. Now, I was encouraged to hear it so well plugged over here on the resource table, okay? So if you want a Bible, you can grab one for free afterwards. Don't leave tonight. If you don't have a Bible, I want to make sure that you get one. But my invitation to you in the new year is to sink your roots into this book, into the Bible. And so if you brought a Bible tonight, or if you have the Bible on your phone, I want to invite you to turn to Psalm chapter 1. And we are going to look at Psalm chapter 1. And what we're going to talk about just very briefly tonight, two things very briefly. One is how, and the second is why you should make 2026 the year that you sink your roots deeper into the Bible. So if you don't have a Bible, I'm going to have the passage up here on the screen as well. But it's the book of Psalms, chapter 1. And Psalm chapter 1 actually functions as a kind of introduction to the entire book of Psalms, the largest book in the Bible, 150 of them there. But we're just going to look at Psalm chapter 1, which is delightfully brief. Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. This person who does this, he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all he does, he prospers. It's a picture of rootedness. And then we get the contrast, verse 4. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So two things. First, why you should make 2026 the year that you sink roots deeper into the Bible. And we're going to talk about the psalm in particular in just a moment. But before we do that, think for a moment about a normal week of your life. As you go across the course of a normal week, think about what kind of content you consume in an average week. What kind of content on your phone you might consume. For me, it's normally current events and abstruse North Atlantic theological discussions. So I told you I was a nerd, so I'm just coming out fully as a theology nerd. What kinds of shows do you watch over the course of a normal week? Think about the television or the kind of shows that you watch. What kind of music do you listen to on a normal week? Now, hear me really clearly. There's a sort of simple understanding that says, well, social media or TV shows or secular music or that sort of stuff, it's all bad because it's secular. I'm not really persuaded of that. I think that's a pretty facile, sort of an overly simplistic way of thinking about it. I don't think the story is sort of like Bible good, everything else bad, or something like that. I think the problem is more complicated than that, honestly. Fundamentally, the problem has to do with what I would describe as beauty, aesthetics, and emotions. Beauty and aesthetics and emotions. Here's what I mean. See, when I'm scrolling on social media on my phone, my worry isn't that I'm taking in bad information, although I'm almost certainly doing that at some points. My worry is that I'm actually kind of delighting in the people who confirm that I'm right, and then even sort of delighting a little bit in seeing the people who I disagree with be wrong. It's the subtle little way that it forms my heart to kind of side with people who I agree with and dislike people who I disagree with. When I'm watching a movie, for example, my daughter is 7, she'll be 8 next month. When I'm watching The Lion King with my daughter, my worry isn't that the circle of life, my worry isn't that it's unbiblical or unchristian or it's a bunch of rubbish. It's certainly all of those things. but my worry is actually that the music, it makes the circle of life this really beautiful and attractive idea that you almost want to believe because the music is so good. It forms your heart to want something. When I'm listening to music, my worry isn't that the music is full of moral evils or profanity or promiscuity or something like that. My worry is actually that it makes all those things seem attractive and desirable. It makes it feel like attractive to live a life like the music I'm listening to. See, the problem isn't with the content itself. It's actually how it forms our hearts and the things that we want and desire. Fundamentally, the problem is about what we perceive as beautiful and desirable and what captures our hearts and our emotions. You're like, okay, well, what does this have to do with reading the Bible? So here's the thing. Why you should make 2026 the year you sink roots into the Bible? Because the Bible, this book, is more beautiful and more attractive, informs your heart to desire and delight in the right things rather than the wrong things. It forms us by its beauty and by its truth. Reading the Bible transforms your affections, what you find good and beautiful. And so look at the psalm. I want to look at the psalm with you. Very simply, this psalm gives us a picture of two different ways to live and two different destinations to which they lead. So in the first three verses, we find the story of someone who's rooted and leads to life. Someone whose delight is in the word of God and meditates on it day and night. Someone who finds God's words beautiful. Someone who's attracted to the things of God. And look at the descriptions of that person who is attracted to and drawn to and delights in the word of God. Some of the descriptions, blessed, like a healthy tree, strong and sturdy with deep roots that endures storms and winds. You get a picture of someone who bears fruit in the right time, in the right season, does not wither or die, prospers in all things. It's a beautiful picture of a way to live with roots, delighting in the law of God. And then the second half, verses 4-6, the way of the wicked, it says, leads to death. And it describes a picture of lacking roots, right? Like chaff, just blown around in the wind, cut off from the community of the righteous. And it describes the way that life perishes this way. And I don't know if the author means, premature physical death or a spiritual eternal death. But this way leads to death. And those are descriptions of something without roots, blown around, cut off, perishing. So why should you make 2026 the year you establish roots in the Bible? Because when you do, you will delight in the things of God. And that will actually change your heart. You will delight in the things of God, and that will change your heart. Slowly, you'll find your desires will change to want the things that God wants. You'll find your heart formed in ways that you know to be right. They just feel good and proper and satisfying because your heart wants the right kinds of things. Because when you delight in the Word of God and meditate on it day and night, your life is healthier, sturdier, with deeper roots, able to endure the storms of life. There's genuine substance to your life when you have roots sunk deep in the Scriptures, not just fluff or chaff. Your life produces good fruit and prospers because your desires are conformed to the desires of God. Augustine of Hippo, a great 4th century Christian thinker and theologian, he famously said, "Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in God." Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in God. Friends, if at the beginning of 2026, if your heart feels restless, unmoored, lacking roots, I would encourage you to let it be formed to desire God and the things of God by delighting in His Word. So that's the why. That's the why. And some of you are thinking, okay, well, how do I even do that? How should you make 2026 the year you sink your roots into the Bible? How? Perhaps not the thing that would come foremost to your mind, but I would suggest it's by cultivating spiritual senses. By cultivating spiritual senses. Let me explain what I mean. How many coffee drinkers are there in the room? Keep them nice and high. All right. Now, keep your hand up if you absolutely loved your very first cup of black coffee. That's right. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I wiped almost all of you out. It was like 2 of you. Awesome. Here's why. Think about it for a moment. Think about it. Coffee, like many of life's finer things, takes some effort to cultivate a taste for, right? You actually had to work at it. It's not immediate. Think about art for a second, okay? Think about art. If you've ever been to a real art museum, you know it can sometimes take some work to appreciate what you're looking at. Your first instinct can sometimes be something like I call the caveman instinct, where you look at it and you go, oh, big picture. And that's your highbrow art critique. But you know that you have to actually work to appreciate what you're looking at. You have to cultivate your sense of sight in some ways. You might need to learn more about the artist or the historical setting of the art or the technique required to create it, its use of light, all kinds of things, the materials used. But you have to work at it. And then you can find yourself suddenly astonished looking at a piece of art, going, wow, oh my goodness. Coffee requires someone to cultivate their sense of taste. Visual art requires the cultivation of our sense of sight to be able to understand what we're looking at. The same thing's true of music. To learn to appreciate it, you have to sort of cultivate that sense to listen. We can cultivate our senses to appreciate the beauty and joy in certain things. Some of the most beautiful things take work to appreciate. And friends, I would say the same thing is true with the Bible, with God's Word. That sometimes, maybe like the few of you, you drank your first black cup of coffee and you're like, man, I love this. But for most people, I would say it takes a little bit of work to cultivate. So the question is, though, do you thirst for God? Does Scripture smell sweet to you? Are God's truths beautiful to your eyes and to your ears? Have you cultivated those kinds of senses? Because look at how the Bible tells us, literally commands us to cultivate our spiritual senses in different ways. All in the Psalms, interestingly enough. Taste and see that the Lord is good. In your light, God, do we see light? The psalmist says, "Open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your law." In Psalm 119, it also says, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." That's someone who's cultivated a spiritual taste for Scripture. And I want to suggest that you cultivate your spiritual senses in 2026 to find beauty in this book. So I want to talk to 2 different groups of people in the room for just a minute, okay? So if you aren't the first group, hang tight. I'm coming to you. Group number 1, If you've been reading the Bible for a while, you're somebody who's familiar with this book and you've spent time reading it, you're familiar with it, then hopefully you've cultivated some sense of what I'm talking about. I hope you've had some moments of reading the Bible where you found yourself in awe of God, in the gospel, in the love of God for you and what Christ has done for you. Theologian John Webster, he describes the practice of reading scripture as a practice of astonishment. Regularly reading the Bible and finding yourself astonished by what you've read. Think about that for a moment. You're reading the Bible, whether it's a new passage that's unfamiliar to you, or sometimes it's something that you've read 100 times, and suddenly it hits you, and you find yourself newly astonished by God's word. Wow, I can't believe it. God is so holy, or God is so good, or he's so loving, or I can't believe Christ did that for me. You just become newly astonished. You might find yourself astonished when you start to see connections between the Old Testament and the New Testament. You might find yourself astonished when you start to realize that God's good plan laid out in the Old Testament, all of the ways it's fulfilled in Christ. You might find yourself astonished by just a word or a phrase that runs through the entire Bible, and you start to understand God's goodness or his love or his holiness that runs from cover to cover. For you, first group, my encouragement to you is to slow down and refine your spiritual senses, to become increasingly astonished. And I tell this story sometimes. I still remember where I was sitting. This was over 15 years ago, probably, sitting on the second floor of Alden Library, reading Revelation chapter 5, this glorious worship scene. Full of angels and all kinds of incredible imagery. And I just remember reading and being overwhelmed by the glory of God, by his holiness, by this scene that was portrayed in scripture. I just started weeping right there on the second floor of Alden Library. I'm sure almost everybody thought I was crazy. But just astonished by the beauty and the glory of God in this passage. Second group, some of you might be new to reading the Bible. You might not even have a Bible. You're waiting to come get yours right when we get done. If you're new to reading the Bible or have just begun, here's my suggestion for you is to begin tonight. To begin tonight. Go back to your room, and instead of spending 10 minutes doing whatever you were going to do, grab your Bible, open up to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. The Gospel of John is the fourth book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just start with the Gospel of John and take 10 minutes and slowly read chapter 1. Don't begin in Genesis and tell yourself you're going to read the whole Bible or something like that. That's like chugging your first cup of black coffee. Sure, you can do it, but you're probably going to get tired of doing that. That's for later. Start with the Gospel of John chapter 1, and then tomorrow, find 10 minutes and do the same thing with John chapter 2. Just begin a little bit at a time, like your first cup of coffee. You might start to wonder, is this really for me? And I would say, just keep reading a little bit each day. And eventually it'll come like an incredible artistic masterpiece. You'll go, oh my goodness, look at this. You'll be astonished by the love and the power and the mercy and the grace of Jesus. Friends, if you are feeling unrooted, looking for something solid or durable as you start a new year and a new semester, I want to invite you to make 2026 the year that you sink your roots into the Bible. Something so stable that its wisdom and beauty has endured for thousands of years, because Psalm 1 paints a picture of two different ways to live, a rooted and an unrooted way of living. One that leads to life and the other that leads to death. And if you want life to have some substance, if you want it to endure the storms of life, if you want to have deep roots for your life that produce good fruit, then meditate on the law of the Lord day and night. Delight in his law. See, our hearts may need some reprogramming to delight in the right things. We don't just want to learn more about the Bible. We want to have our hearts astonished and captivated by the God who loves us enough to send his son to die for us. We want to be overwhelmed with joy and surprise and delight and praise for the God who is holy, holy, holy. We want our hearts to long for the right things for the things of God and of heaven and of eternity. Friends, make 2026 the year that you sink your roots deep or deeper into the Bible and become astonished at the God who loves you. Let me pray. Father, we are grateful that in your wisdom and in your love and in your kindness that you have chosen to reveal yourself to us in this book. Father, thank you that we have access to it today like no other generation in history, in our pockets all day long, thousands of copies laying around within a mile of us. Lord, would you help us to delight in your word? Not as an end in itself, but Lord, because we want to long for you and for the right things. We want our hearts to be conformed to the things that you want them to be. We want our desires to be aligned to your desires. We want roots, Lord, that help us produce good fruit in our lives. And Father, we want to live in a way that stands firm on your word, roots deeply sunk in, so that we might know you and grow and experience all that you have for us. Lord, thank you for your word. May we delight in it more and more each day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.